Welcome to Tampa Bay FM's Synergy Connection, where life as you currently live it can be transformed into the life you've always dreamed of. Understanding your synergistic connections is the pathway to your emotional, physical, spiritual, and mental wellness. Let's begin connecting the dots. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Synergy Connection Show. And I have as my returning guest today, Victoria Hawkins. And Victoria has been on the show before, but for those who maybe didn't catch that show, she is an artist, an author, a psychotherapist, a yoga and dance instructor, a mom, and a suburban shaman. And I love the concept of being a suburban shaman. She has created a whole self approach to working with students and clients of all ages. She incorporates art, creative movement, wisdom teachings, creative writing, yoga, and mindfulness meditation when working with her clients. Her approach is one of being a guide, and she tells me that she's thrilled to hold space for others to remember and experience their own wisdom and ability to heal themselves. And what we're going to be talking about today is something that she has recently come back from, which is walking a part of the Appalachian Trail. Now, for those of you who maybe don't know much about the Appalachian Trail other than the name, it is 2,180 miles long, and it goes through 14 states. And I think this was your seventh trip.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about what you learned along the trail this year. And
sure.
I believe you went 44 miles.
We did.
Okay.
And we have had what I learned this year is called the shotgun approach to section hiking. And that's because we basically pick a section rather than going in order.
Okay.
So in the past, I had done, over a period of a few different trips, the state of Georgia already, completed the miles that are through the state of Georgia. And I've also done a good bit of North Carolina, not much of Tennessee, but a teeny bit of Tennessee. So this year we had decided to see if we could take on doing the state of Maryland, because we felt like if we just added one more day to what we normally do, that we'd be able to complete it. And the state of Maryland is about 40 miles of the Appalachian Trail. And then there's a tiny bit in West Virginia. And actually, the Appalachian Trail runs on the border of West Virginia and Virginia, but most of those miles get attributed to Virginia.
Okay.
But there's 4 miles that run through West Virginia itself. So between Maryland and West Virginia, we were able to complete 44 miles of the Appalachian Trail. And we did that in 4 days. 3 nights out and then
so
4 nights walking.
Yeah, 10 miles of walking, a little more than 10 miles each day.
Correct, yes. And we ended up actually doing a tad more than that with offshoots, because there were really some beautiful locations to visit as well, very close to where the Appalachian Trail is. So we decided to take advantage of that while we were there this year. And we kept a really great pace, so we were able to do that. I think in total we got closer to 50.
Wow.
But as far as Appalachian Trail miles go, we were able to complete the 44 that we hoped for.
So now, is your objective to do all 2,180 eventually?
It is.
Because there's only a few people that ever do that. I mean, a lot
of
people walk parts, but not that many ever complete the whole trail.
Correct. And when we were out there this time, Maryland and West Virginia are sort of the middle of the trail. It's interesting, we learned this year that the center point does change, because with different fluctuations in nature that we have, they actually do have to shift the trail sometimes. And the trail, by the way, is completely volunteer maintained. And it was created as a recreational trail. Like, it was just made for people to be able to walk in the woods, which I think is amazing.
That is. I mean, I'm thinking here we have the Pinellas Trail that goes 60-some-odd miles,
yes,
I think, now. But I don't think it's maintained by volunteers. But the concept was, where can bicyclists go and enjoy the nature coastline?
Yes.
And so here, that, I mean, that's a small little piece by comparison to 2,180 miles.
I know. And as you are walking on it, it is pretty mind-blowing that that many miles has been created.
Mm-hmm.
By just people deciding, hey, let's see how we can.
So they have to maintain it every year.
It has to be maintained really throughout the year. And so what you'll find is different states will have their memberships and organizations. But there's also a main organization called the Appalachian Trail Conservancy. And they are the ones that do organize a good bit of this. And they also take donations for maintenance of the trail. And we were able to visit the sort of midpoint of the trail and the headquarters, I think it would be called, mm-hmm. of the Appalachian Trail Conservancy while we were on this trip.
And what was that like?
It was more exciting than I thought it would be. And we even for a moment... We actually went to it twice because in the same day, which sounds funny, but we were on the last day of our hike. So at this point, we're fairly tired. We've been hiking now for 3 solid days because mm-hmm. We had gotten on the trail in the morning of the first day, spent 3 nights out. And so now we're on the 4th day of hiking. And we knew that we had, I think we had like 6 or 7 miles to complete, which is still pretty significant amount of mileage.
Especially if
you're tired.
Right.
And I always laugh because we do try to keep our backpacks limited to the best of our ability, but I always feel like it should be lighter at the end, and it never feels lighter at the end. It always feels just the same to me the last day as it does the first, but... We were in Harper's Ferry, which is where the Appalachian Trail Conservancy is, but the conservancy is not on the actual Appalachian Trail. It's actually about a mile, I don't know which direction at that point, but a mile away from it, let's say. It's a little town, though,
uh-huh.
and it's an old town with, you know, beautiful old homes and things, with a big hill that you have to walk up to get to the conservancy.
Oh.
So when we were looking, we're like, we actually had gotten off the Appalachian Trail slightly, but we're in the middle of the town, so not that big of a deal because you can usually, you know, easily find your way back. More of a big deal if you're in the woods. But we looked at each other and we're like, okay, we could go back to the trail and just go ahead and get it done. And then our partners were coming to meet us, and we'll just have them come bring us back over to the conservancy. Or we could finish hiking up to the conservancy, and then maybe we could leave our backpacks there. That was like our motivation. So we decided to go ahead and hike that extra mile up. And when we got there, it was so exciting. I felt like a celebrity. You walk in the door, and clearly you're hiking. I mean, we're wearing hiking clothes, and we're carrying big, big backpacks, had walking sticks. And the gentleman that was manning it that day, he welcomed us and, you know, asked where we were coming from, where we were going, if we were through hikers, which is what they call the individuals who actually start at one end and do the whole trail in one shot. We were doing this in towards the end of July, and that is a popular point for people to be about halfway mm-hmm. if they're through hikers.
Mm-hmm.
So they do often welcome people there that are, you know, coming for a little respite before they continue on the trail.
Right.
And they even have, people can drop, or not drop off, but, well, I guess they could drop it off, but you can have delivered to the Appalachian Trail Conservancy new supplies.
Oh, okay.
So, for example, when we walked in, there was another gentleman that was getting a box, and he had just gotten his box, and it had, like, he was finishing that day, and apparently it had clean clothes for him and stuff like that.
Mm.
I guess rather than an individual picking him up with all that stuff,
right.
You know,
they
he must have been.
It.
Yeah. So,
are there other places along the trail that you can also do that?
You can. And we've talked to people who do that because we are section hikers. And so we know that we're just carrying what we need for those few days. Mm-hmm. However, we have walked through, like Georgia has a couple places that are have hostels that are either right on the trail or very close. And many times people are getting things delivered to those spots. And then they'll, you know, change out stuff or resupply, like with food and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So as we came in, you know, they showed us different things and talked to us. And then they wanted to take a picture, which we didn't realize, which was kind of funny because to us, we're just like, well, we're just, you know, we're just doing our thing. But later, after we finished hiking, well, I'll go back a moment. They allowed us to leave our backpacks there in like this little lounge area. So we decided to do what we just call slack packing for the last about 4 miles, which is carry basically just some water and a tiny bit of a snack to make sure that you're nourished.
Uh-huh.
And so we took those last 4 miles without the heavy backpack, and it was lovely.
I bet that was.
So basically West Virginia we did minus the heavy backpack and just kind of, it still felt like 4 miles, but it felt a lot better.
Mm.
And then our partners picked us up on the side of the road, which was hilarious because, you know, sometimes the trail isn't crossing like any parking lot or anything like that.
Right, right.
So this was on the side of a highway. And I have a great picture of us with all these wildflowers.
Oh.
And then there's the highway, and that's where they picked us up. And they took us back over to the conservancy. And they had picked up our backpacks from the conservancy already. We had said, hey,
oh, okay.
We left our backpacks there. We weren't sure if they wanted to hang out and see the conservancy. So when they said, we have to go back because they want to take your picture. And we were like, what? They said, no. They said that you had left without getting the picture, and they really want you to do the picture. So we said, okay, you know, whatever. We wanted to get a few things, you know, stickers, t-shirts, whatever. So we go in, and what we realized was there's a whole binder that we had not seen with all of these different people over the years.
Oh, my. What's the earliest?
Oh, you know, I don't even know. It's got to go back further than what they showed us. Like,
mm-hmm.
I think they have annuals.
Okay.
But it is just a binder, like a school binder with sleeves.
Mm-hmm.
And then they take a photo. Like a Polaroid, basically, kind of a photo.
Mm-hmm.
And then you write on the bottom who you are.
And the date.
The date that you were there. The date that you started hiking the trail. And
mm-hmm.
so for some people, if they're a through hiker, it'll say, you know, that year. For those of us that are section hikers, you just put that you're a section hiker. And
what's the percentage? I don't know whether they gave that, but of through hikers, because I know in what I was reading,
it's
tiny.
Low.
Yeah.
I don't know. They didn't tell us an actual percentage, but it mm-hmm. is low. It felt when you're there like everybody's a through hiker.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is it's a handful. And what was also neat about looking at that book was some people that we were coming south this year. A lot of people were going north.
North, yeah.
And so,
well, they would be able to experience the fall colors as they got up into.
Yes.
Where does it end?
It ends in Maine.
In Maine.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. So.
So they would be going up and finishing the summer in some cooler temperatures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it starts to get a little bit cooler up that direction
right,
as well.
Right.
So we did get to see some pictures of people that we had met on the trail.
Did they have any pictures? I guess a couple of years ago now, I remember going and seeing this, but it was, I believe, Tom Hanks and Kris Kristofferson, and they did the movie about, you know,
yes.
going on the trail.
I didn't see, and I am sure that they went into the conservancy, too.
Mm.
I saw that movie, and there's parts of that that you recognize.
Right.
There's one called A Walk in the Woods, too. That same thing. They've definitely filmed a good bit of it on the actual trail.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So it's neat to see that in person.
Right.
You know, everything, just with all the ways that we can see things these days.
So now are you going back again next year?
Yes.
And
we
already have your reservations?
We haven't decided yet which section. We started toying with the idea of doing some of the northern sections.
Uh-huh. Going later?
We'll still probably do July, mostly because, and this is maybe because I'm a Florida baby, I don't know, but I will say I get very cold at night.
Okay.
Up there, even in the summer. So we also sleep in hammocks.
Mm-hmm.
And an interesting thing I've learned over these 7 hikes is the tent on the ground, you get the warmth of the ground a little bit.
Right.
In the air,
you don't.
You don't. You actually get, even if it's not windy, you get the airflow. And man, it cools me down.
So what do you
sleep
in?
I'll be shivering.
You can take long johns with you.
I do. I have long johns. I even have added to my to my hammock a pad that reflects the heat up. It's like a little blow up pad.
Okay.
And then this year, one of my girlfriends that went with me, she had, I called it a mummy bag, you know, like a sleeping bag with the headpiece. And she was a lot warmer than I. So I keep changing my bedding every year. But
so
I feel
the mummy
like
bag is next year.
I actually already bought it.
Oh, did you?
I already have my mummy bag.
Well, especially if you're going to go further north.
Yes.
The evenings will be even chillier.
We potentially have cooler weather. Mm-hmm. We did actually have a night that it got in the 50s this year.
Oh, okay.
It was a huge shift in the weather. Right before we left was heat wave everywhere. And it was interesting. We had met some people who were coming back onto the trail our second day out. And they had to get off the trail because it rained our first day, but the 3 or 4 days prior to that, it had gotten into the hundreds.
Oh, my. Yeah.
And it became too dangerous for people because mm-hmm. the water sources are further. I mean, it can be miles between mm-hmm. water sources.
Right. And you can get
heat stroke. If you got heat stroke, there's just not good ways to get people out of the mountains.
Right.
So I think that they had given some warnings and mm-hmm. people had decided to come off. And I could see where it would be just too hot. Mm. So they were coming back on the trail.
Okay.
With the rain, though, it got to the 50s that night.
That night.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and then with rain, too, I think, you know, just humidity in general, if it's cool, you feel it just the way you do when it's hot.
Yes, you do.
Yeah,
it gets in your bones.
Exactly. Because I remember living in both St. Louis and in Wisconsin. And when we had rain and it was chilly.
Yeah.
Man, you felt that for sure.
Yes. We had a fun experience this year. But one of the things that I love is that every year is just very different. Part of that is the terrain is different in all the different places. Mm-hmm. Even through Georgia, you get different, you know, terrain as you start to go further north. But this year, we also had quite a bit of wildlife.
Oh, what did you get to see?
We saw deer every single day.
Really?
Including a fawn.
Aw.
The first night, like I said, it rained torrential, actually, downpours. We decided not to do hammocks that night, and we were glad because the bottom dropped out at about 8:30.
Mm.
And we do try to plan to stay at what's called shelters along the trail, and they are a well-constructed, usually lean-to type of a thing, though. It's got a good roof over it and a wooden base, typically, but an open front. And this one had a little loft at the top and then wood on the bottom. You could sleep top or bottom with your sleeping bags and maybe mattress pads. So we did that night, which we were very happy because it would have been pretty bad, probably, in the hammocks with the amount of rain that we had.
I would think so.
There were some limbs and things falling, which we heard. They were hitting the roof.
Oh.
But that night, right before it started raining, we were hanging our packs. You have to think about
bears.
So you hang your packs, and we were doing that. And the cutest little rabbit just came up and was just sitting there, like, watching us. So we saw quite a few bunnies, but that was the first one. We did see this beautiful snake the first or second day. I can't remember now. There's quite a bit of rocks on the trail this time. So the beginning of Maryland and then what they say about Pennsylvania, which would be a possible section for us next year, is much more rocky. You have to navigate it because the rocks aren't necessarily secure.
Oh, okay. So they could slide with
they
your
can.
Foot on them.
And we definitely felt that this year too, that the way I described it to some people later was it looked like a giant had crushed a bunch of boulders and threw them down the mountain and said, there's your trail.
Oh.
Go for it. Some of the rocks are steady and some are not, so it does take a little bit of navigating. And one of the days we were kind of pausing because there was a pretty good uphill climb with all those rocks. And I turned around to check on, there were three of us, like I said, I turned around to check on Amanda and Janice. And then I turned back around and there was this beautiful snake that I've actually yet to identify. I should look it up. Bright yellow and green. I didn't feel like it was a poisonous snake. It didn't appear to be. There's rattlesnakes definitely on the trail. Copperheads, I think, up in that area too. I've seen rattlesnakes on the trail many times in Georgia and North Carolina. But I grew up with that in Florida too. But this was not that. And it just was beautiful sitting there a moment. And then I turned around again and it was gone.
I'm trying to think if a rat snake is yellow. Well, that's something we'll have to look that up.
Yeah. So that was neat. I'm always amazed. There's, I call the daddy long leg spiders like the ambassadors of the Appalachian Trail.
Really?
So far, I have seen them everywhere. Now, I'm not sure if they'll continue as I go further north. Because Maryland's the furthest north that I've been.
That you've been?
Even though I haven't done some of the states in between, like Virginia.
So do you study the wildlife that you may encounter prior to your walk?
I don't, actually. I usually come back and check out what I saw.
Mm.
That's my mode, usually. Yeah. The daddy long legs have been there every single time.
That's interesting.
And they walk on the trail with you.
Well, you know, around here, this time of year, there are these, some of them are gigantic grasshoppers.
Oh, yes.
And they have the most beautiful colors. They're red and yellow and green. But they're big. They look like an armada of a grasshopper and not the little ones. But I'm wondering if, because we were walking, let's see, Tuesday morning over at Anderson Park. And they were everywhere. Just, you know, you had to really look not to step on one.
Yes.
Because they were all along the paths. And they blended in because of their coloring with leaves and twigs and the mud. And so you really did have to look and watch and see if they were going to move. But I guess if it were me, I would probably be saying, okay, this is the block of territory.
Right.
You know, probably black bears, probably eagles, probably, they're not going to be shorebirds like we have down here.
No,
so.
I don't see those. But hawks we see.
Hawks.
And sometimes you'll hear them.
And do you ever have one that you feel like is guiding you?
Yes, and we've also had some, I feel like a few times, butterflies that have guided.
Oh, cool.
That happened to us two times ago. When it was just Amanda and I, where I felt like we were kind of hitting a time where we had to make a decision to go ahead and finish some miles and get off the trail rather than spending a night. And that happens sometimes. Sometimes you run into different situations where you're like, okay, this was a good plan on paper, but it's not working out here in the real wild. And I felt like we were being guided by this butterfly. It was, again, a time where it was harder navigating the trail. It's interesting. Sometimes it'll be like you're walking on a path. And other times you really are paying attention to, is this still the trail? And we had talked about that the last time in one of my past experiences where we actually got off the trail and were guided back to it. So I do feel like the birds, especially, or the winged insects.
That insects will do it.
They are guides during my trips, for sure.
Did you see any bears this time?
No, and I had an interesting experience. I'm glad you asked about that, because it just brought up one of the things that happened for me different this time out in the woods. In the past, I had a bear experience, and I don't remember if I told you about that
or not.
Okay, so my friend Amanda, now this was her third trip with me. this year, 2 years ago, her first trip, we had our hammock set up. It was actually, I found out later, her very first night ever sleeping in nature. She had not told me that.
Oh.
So, you know, new experience for her. And I just, man, I give her a lot of kudos because she was in. She was ready for it. So we both are in our hammocks, mm-hmm. close together, though. Mm-hmm. We, you know, put them in a space that's right there near each other. We were near a shelter. There were other people that were actually sleeping in the shelter that night. And we had a really nice water source, like a creek, that you could even stick your feet in, which was great.
Oh.
So we get in our hammocks to go to sleep. What they call hiker's midnight is basically when the sun is going down because you're tired.
You're exhausted.
You're exhausted.
Wow.
So we're both there. Mm-hmm. And I hear her falling asleep. You know how you can hear people's breathing change. Mm-hmm. And I tend to take a while to kind of unwind. So I'm listening. She's asleep. It is now dark. So it had been a bit of time, maybe an hour or so. And it's pitch black. It was a new moon that night.
Oh, then
so
it is black.
It was so dark that if you close your eyes, it was the same as opening them. And all of a sudden, I hear this crashing through the woods behind me. Big crashing. So
is she waking up?
Well, neither of us said anything. And I mean the whole night. We said nothing to each other, Lucy. I hear this crashing. The animal, which I now know to be a bear, stopped beside me on the hammock and made what I called a snarfling noise, but basically a big animal bear noise right at my head level.
Oh my gosh.
And I could feel that it was there, but it wasn't actually touching my hammock, but it was very close. I could not see anything because that's how black, dark it was. And then it stayed for a while, did that, and went off. Maybe 15, 20 minutes later, it comes back and does the same thing to my friend Amanda on her side.
Oh, no.
And at this point, I promise you, I was saying every prayer I've ever heard, doing every mantra I've ever done, praying to every deity I've ever met in my life, right? And just,
oh my gosh.
I think the last thing I was saying was, I'm one with nature. Thank you for letting me be here. And I was trying to be as tiny as I could be in my hammock. So,
oh my gosh.
Eventually, I must have fallen asleep. Right. But, you know, I only know that because I woke up, right? And I was so happy to wake up. And the first thing...
And not be in pieces.
The first thing that we say to each other was... Did you hear that noise? And we had said nothing the whole night. She had fallen asleep eventually, too.
Oh, goodness.
And I said yes. And she, I mean, basically, I was like, that was a bear, you know. That was not a raccoon or anything else. Definitely not a deer.
Did she feel the sensation you did of his breathing or her breathing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And what we both really kind of gathered, I mean... You know, the next day, as we're talking about it and walking along and just both talking about being scared, but we also both felt that we were just in the path of it getting to the creek.
Uh-huh.
And that probably it was like a really good creek for it that it visited every night, you know, and we just happened to be there. And so, you know, him or her was checking us out. So that
him or her was trying to see if you had had a candy bar up there.
Definitely. And that's really one of the things that I thankfully got educated on early in my adventures.
Right.
Was really just being cautious of the fact that you don't want to smell like food.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want, you know, wrappers and things like that left over
in your campsite. Don't go to bed with a Twinkie.
No.
Oh,
so, and some people don't know that. And the black bear population is large. You know, they're not aggressive in the sense that they don't look to attack.
Right.
However, they will take advantage of food.
Mm-hmm.
And in a hammock, you're in there. So if it smelled like that certainly there have been, you know, instances of that. So I will say, you know, that was a pretty disconcerting experience.
I would think so.
So last year we didn't have anything like that. We actually had beautiful camping spot that year. We saw little mice last year, which were so cute. And thankfully not, you know, in our hammock, but around our area, but they were super cute. And then this year, the experience that I had was after having had that, you know, close encounter with an animal that I would feel fearful of.
Mm-hmm.
Like a raccoon, I'm not fearful of. Even the snake, I'm not fearful of. Maybe just growing up with them around, because I grew up in the woods in Florida, and we did have a lot of snakes around our house.
Yeah.
I was familiar with them, but black bears was not something I encountered. And there's a lot of hype around it, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And people seem scared of that for you. So it's been a curious thing to not take on other people's fears for me.
Right, right.
But at night, in the past 2 years, I really was having a hard time managing that after having that experience.
Yeah.
So before I left this time, I had been given this neat meditation of just sending love and gratitude to Mother Earth, completely separate really from going on the trail or anything like that. But I had been doing it for a couple of weeks before I departed. So our first night out, I actually just decided to do that, it just because.
Mm-hmm.
And the peace that I felt sleeping outside in nature this time was completely different than any of my other years out there.
No anxiety at all.
No anxiety. The only other time I felt that was my very first year, but I didn't know what to expect my first year. I had no knowledge of what I was doing. And no one really to tell me not to do it.
Right.
Or to be afraid.
Right.
So because I just decided to go hike the Appalachian Trail. I mean, it was really on a whim for my birthday, which is kind of funny because my first time was this time a number of years ago. So that experience of having connected even more deeply with gratitude for Mother Nature and then using that same meditation while I was out, you know, getting prepared for bed,
mm-hmm.
Or prepared for sleep, made a huge difference in really feeling in harmony with nature. To the point that one of the nights I needed to go to the restroom, and it was going to be hours before the sun was up, and I didn't feel like I could wait that long. In the past, I would have stayed in my hammock. I would have just been like, I'm just staying here. I'll be okay. And I didn't, and I felt okay, and I had my headlamp, but it wasn't particularly bright out that night either. But I actually felt very peaceful and like I was okay. And so I thought that was a really neat experience to have, to be more in oneness with nature instead of feeling like, I mean, I'm still a visitor there and I honor that,
mm-hmm.
but rather than feeling scared.
Right.
And I think you're getting the difference.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, one, I would say you're at one with nature,
mm-hmm.
and the other one, you're cautiously respectful.
Maybe. Yes, yes.
Maybe that kind of a feeling. So,
yes.
You this time you hit the I'm at one with nature, so there's no reason to be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And I always use an acronym, and I know you've heard it too as a therapist, but fear is nothing more than false evidence appearing real.
Yes, that's my favorite way to classify fear.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I think if we come to grips with whatever we think we're afraid of, and actually examine it for what it is, we can probably let it go.
Yes. And, you know, having a bear beside you and realizing that they're not actually there for you.
Yeah. No, as long as you don't smell like food.
As long as you don't smell like food. It was, in a way, probably part of the process of that, too, is recognizing
now
the reality.
You cook away from
yes.
where you sleep.
We do.
Yeah.
We do. We cook. One of the reasons why we pick the shelters, if we can,
mm-hmm.
To camp at is because they do have a shelter just in case. Like that one night with the torrential downpour,
right.
We were really happy to have that shelter.
I think that's a good plan, actually.
Yeah. They do have a privy,
mm-hmm.
which is also nice to have. You know,
you don't have to dig.
You don't have to dig, and it's compostable, so at least it's, you know, it's as best one with the environment as it can be.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always like a picnic table area and a little campfire area. Our experience is, at least the time of year we go, it's usually too damp to make a fire. The wood and everything is too damp.
Too damp.
But we put our cook stove kind of thing that we create in that area, so it's nice and safe too. It keeps you from having burning happening outside of the rocks there. And then we usually set up our hammocks a bit away from that because the shelters have other campsites around them as well. So we usually pick one that's a little bit further away. Some of the shelters also have what I call a bear hang, where you can hang your packs.
Which I'm sure if you've got power bars or things like that, it's a good idea to have them up in the air.
Because that, you know, and if even if it's not bears, raccoons, squirrels, chipmunks, they all want your food too.
I'm sure it little tastes mice. A little bit better than what they've got going.
Yeah, yeah. So those are all, you know, kind of very primitive amenities, but better than just a campsite where this year we made sure that we knew how to hang the packs with a tree, which was kind of a funny experience doing it in my friend's backyard with lots of trees and throwing rope and with a shoe on the end, you know, like it was funny, but we thought, okay, well, if we had to, we could do that.
Preparation's a good thing.
Preparation is good, yeah.
So do you take along like a little medical kit just in case?
We do. Basic first aid types of things. most of what I've had to use has just been treatment for toes, like blister treatment.
Blister treatment. Don't they have like a invisible skin or something like that?
They do, and I use that if I get one. But what I typically do right off the bat, I've been a dancer my whole life too, so I have very wide balls of my feet, which they'll call a toe box and a shoe, right? So I tend to have to wrap my toes with what's called moleskin. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
I have.
I have to wrap my toes because
to
otherwise,
protect them.
I'll have blisters just even after one day. It's just the way my feet are.
You have to make sure you've got really good hiking boots too.
Oh yes, I'm on a. My third pair of hiking boots. And I may get a different pair this year. I decided this year that ankle boots are challenging on the rocks.
Yeah.
Because your ankle's shifting around into the top. And I had some pretty bad bruises around my ankle, even though my toes and feet were
and
in
if you do Pennsylvania
shape,
next year, you'll have
it's
more
gonna be
rocks.
Rocky.
Yeah.
I even was looking online for moccasins. I'm wondering about totally going a different direction with my footwear.
Wouldn't that be interesting? I guess you could try it and then have an alternate pair and just
That's
see.
What I was thinking, because the moccasin would be very light if I needed to go to something else.
But do they have, you know, like
they
I'm
have
just thinking
some with
if
a
you,
sole, but so far I haven't found, you know, I think I'm just kind of putting out the vibe for myself with that, because I'm wondering if there's... You know,
you could end up bruising the bottom of your feet pretty good.
Exactly, especially with the rocks.
Yes.
They, some other hikers that we've met over the way talked about that, Pennsylvania is hard on your soles of your feet. So it's interesting. Different parts of the trail, it seems like you're going to almost want different shoes.
Maybe you would be able to go online and ask advice.
Definitely.
You know, for somebody who's done the Pennsylvania part. What was the most comfortable?
It's been fun to see how that's changed over the years, too. There is a lot more available in the world of internet and social media now than when I started.
Sure.
And you can even, apparently, some people that were doing the thru-hiking said that you can download an app onto your phone that will tell you about the trail that you're coming up to and whether the water sources are, you know, flowing or whether you need to skip a certain part or if there's a lot of bear activity. So we had a different experience with Marilyn this year. You were solidly in the woods, yet there was city pretty close all along the trail. Most of the time you could hear some sort of like travel, whether it be a train. There was a train that we heard multiple times.
Or trucks
sometimes too. And we had phone service almost the whole entire time, which is rare for us. North Carolina is challenging. it's deep in the woods, mm-hmm. and it's harder to get to an actual town for the parts that I've seen.
So what states have you actually been in thus far?
Georgia, North Carolina, Tennessee, and then I've been in parts of Virginia, but only as day hikes, mm-hmm. Because my family used to live in Virginia, and some of my siblings still live in Virginia. So I've done some of the George Washington Mountain as a day hike, the Appalachian Trail there. That was a number of years ago where cell service was lesser anyways. Mm. But my feeling is that some of those are more rural, whereas even though Maryland was rural, it's not actually.
Probably it's, I would think, also a matter of elevation. You know,
definitely.
The higher up you are, the better the service would be.
And Georgia, when you would sometimes be really high, because uh-huh. there's certain spots in Georgia that are very high, you would all of a sudden get some service. But then when you start going back down, it's gone
you'd
again.
You lose it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's kind of an interesting thing. Most of the time, we just have our phones with us just to say, hey, we're mm-hmm. at the spot that we... if we can get a text out or something to just
right.
let people know where we are.
Right. I know that there, and I don't know what the app is actually, but there was a mother, it was on probably the news at least, and I'm sure social media carried it maybe about a month ago, maybe more than that. But her daughter was traveling by herself, was a student as I recall, and had taken a turn maybe too fast or lost control of her mm. car somehow. But she'd gone over a ravine, and she was alone. And you would not have ever spotted the car. And it had, I know, landed on her arm.
Oh,
and
wow.
so she was pinned. She could
yeah.
not get out. But had they not agreed as a mother-daughter to have this app on the phone,
yes.
the mother could see that she was off of the road, that the
wow.
vehicle was off of the road. And so she was able to send rescue service to find her daughter.
Yes.
And had they not had that particular app, her daughter probably would have died. So
wow.
That's one of those times when modern day technology does work.
Yes.
And if you're on the trail and something were to happen where there was a medical emergency,
mm-hmm.
they would be able to find you.
Yeah. Yes, and I think that's been one of the beautiful things that's been advancements
mm-hmm.
that, you know, technology being used in really positive ways for us too.
Mm-hmm.
And that there are things like that. And, you know, it is nice to be able to let people know, hey, we're at this spot, and here's where you can maybe expect us tomorrow.
Exactly.
Things don't always go the way you plan, but when you are able to have that check-in, it feels comforting, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I would think so. So, with this particular trip, you've always learned a little something as you've traveled. And so, what was the aha moment, maybe, for you on this trip? Or maybe you had several.
I really went this year wanting to be surrendered to the experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm never overly committed to the outcome anymore, as
mm-hmm.
far as like, okay, I must finish this number of miles. You
right.
know what I mean?
Right.
Because actually, it's never happened exactly the way I plan anyways. However, this year I really was wanting to go with that idea of just being surrendered and to flow with things as it occurred.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that was a big aha for me was how synchronistic people arrived at moments. 1, 2, 3, it must have been our third day. We ended up not sleeping out on the trail the third day because we went faster than we planned on,
oh, okay.
which was interesting. We covered more territory. Amanda and I were feeling good about continuing, but we'd also done this for a few times. But Janice, this was her first time. And it's hard. You know, I mean, physically it's hard even if you're in good shape. It's more than Florida walking for
mm-hmm.
sure. So we checked in with Janice and said, okay, how are you doing? Do you feel like you can do another, I think we still needed to do another 6 miles, which is a lot.
That's a lot, yeah.
To get to a point where we knew that there was like a road, because what we realized was there was not a good camping spot that we knew of on the trail. if we didn't stop at this one shelter. But we were going to get to that one shelter at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, which is a long time to be hanging out at a shelter.
Yeah, right.
So instead, and if we went ahead and decided to try to get off and stay at a hostel or something the third night, it meant that a bit of a shorter walk to finish what we wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
So Janice said, you know, if she had said no, we would have just stopped because we're in it together and it's the three of us. And we checked in with each other a lot on it to make sure everybody's doing okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so she said, no, I think, you know, I think I can do it. She said, it's hard, but I feel like I'll be okay. So we kind of redistributed packs at that point. Weight, I took a little bit more in mine because I was feeling fine leg-wise, knee-wise. And that helped a lot. So she was able to move a little bit freer. So we continued on without a real plan at that point, except for we have these little maps, and they generally tell you where, you know, there's going to be a major road and a city. But at that point, we didn't have a plan, like a reservation or whatever, to stay at. We just knew that there were places, little motels or hostels, that we could stay at. We also didn't know how far off the trail they were.
You might get there and still have
another 5 miles. Exactly. So we didn't really know.
Mm-hmm.
I felt okay with that, but we've also had many of those experiences before. Amanda felt okay with that, and Janice was trusting us. So we were walking along. We know where we're going to get off pretty much. And up coming north of us in the evening at this point, sort of late afternoon, comes this really fit, lean guy, just hightailing it up the mountain, light pack on, so you could tell he was probably just going out for, you know, an evening hike,
mm-hmm.
which happens a lot in areas that you can easily get off. And then next to him is also a fit man, but older than he. I would say this guy was, you know, kind of middle-aged. The next guy was a little more senior in years, but very fit.
Mm-hmm.
They're walking and chatting together, so they stopped and talked to us. And the one guy had done the whole trail like 3 times or something crazy. Yeah. So we have this cool conversation with this one man.
Right.
And then the other, the older gentleman, says that he is, well, actually, he didn't tell us that. They never gave us names at this point. But the real fit guy that was basically running up the mountain, he said, hey, he's a trail angel. He's really, you know, helps people out when they need a spot and all this kind of stuff. I don't know, you know, I'm not sure why he's sharing that information with us. We're not saying we need help or anything at that point. But we didn't have a plan. So, but they were going the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm.
We were moving kind of slow at this point, and we didn't have too much left. I think we had 2 miles left of our day. And so they kind of carry on. We knew that the older gentleman lived somewhere in town, and that he sometimes picks people up off the trail and takes them places or whatever. So we get down closer to our spot. We probably had about a half a mile left. And at that point, we're all kind of walking slow, because at this point, I think we had covered a good 13 miles or something that day. So the older gentleman's coming back down. He's done with his walk for the night. And he said, oh, I didn't think I'd still see you guys out here. And we said, yeah, we've been taking our time this last bit. We know we're going to get off and go in town. He said, well, where are you staying? And we said, well, we don't really know yet. And he said, well, do you need a ride?
Yes.
And I said, and at this point, I'm walking with him, and he's moving quick. And I said, that would be great. He said, well, you got to keep up. I said, okay. So I looked at Janice and Amanda, and I said, he can give us a ride, but we got to follow him. So thankfully, it wasn't that much further, but he did. He even called ahead and checked out a little motel for us that he felt was safe, and got us set up there.
I bet those beds were heaven.
Oh, my goodness.
I would think.
And we got a shower.
Uh-huh.
And we ended up ordering pizza that night, even though we could have made a little dinner or something. Probably, I think there was a microwave in the room, but you know, very simple accommodations,
mm-hmm.
super nice owner,
mm-hmm.
and just really looking and seeing how we kept ourselves open.
Right.
We trusted that we were going to be fine and that we would figure it out.
And your trail angel appeared.
And the trail angel appeared.
Uh-huh.
Then on top of that, he said, well, what are you guys doing tomorrow? And we said, well, we're getting back on the trail in the morning. We'd like to start out early because we just want to finish this last bit of... We could have stopped at that point. We had mm-hmm. done Maryland, but we wanted to go ahead and finish that West Virginia part.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, okay, well, I work tomorrow at 11, so if you want, I'll pick you up at 8. So he did. He picked us up from our little motel, dropped us at the point, gave us some tips, and did that all just out of the kindness of his heart. Told us great stories about, you know, his adventures with the trail and with meeting people along the way. And that is one of the big things that I think came out of this for me, was just trusting your inner guidance
mm-hmm.
to know when to stop and when to go, right?
Right.
Trusting that things are going to work out in the best way for you.
Mm-hmm.
And also being open to receive help, too, you know?
So these are all valuable lessons
yeah.
for people that you learn them on the trail,
yes.
you know, by going there. And I think other people may learn them by just life teaching them.
Yes.
It could come any number of ways, I guess. But I think always going back to a spot like you do, so next year will be number 8.
Next year will be number 8, yes. And it looks like we have our threesome now.
Mm-hmm.
Which also was a learning lesson for me, too, because I was a bit nervous about 3. I always had felt like in the past that that makes it where one person may feel a little bit
left
stranded
out.
Or left mm-hmm. out. And it never felt that way. We all connected at times. One would be slightly in front. But the one in front was the one that was kind of also doing the leading, the pulling along a little bit if needed.
Mm-hmm. And then I would think the pace setter, too.
The pace setter, for sure. And we mm-hmm. shared that role. Which was neat to see almost this little revolving
mm-hmm.
Thing
so
occur.
So how many miles is Pennsylvania?
The total of Pennsylvania is something in the 200s, apparently.
Oh.
It's huge.
Yeah. So you're going to start on the southern end?
We would start on the southern end.
Mm-hmm.
And that one is a spot that we're feeling for possibly for next year. They also tell us, though, too, that there's wild horses on the trail in Virginia, and I would love to see that.
Oh, wow.
I mean, obviously, at some point, feeling like I want to do all the sections, but that wild horse is calling to me.
It wouldn't be as chilly.
It wouldn't be as chilly.
No, that's
so
true.
I know Virginia is a gorgeous state. Like
yes,
I said, I've had
yeah.
family there for many years.
Right. And how many miles are in Virginia?
Also, I don't know if it's as many as Pennsylvania, but we were looking up some of those, and it's over 100. So it would be more than one trip.
So
it would
be
more than one trip.
Like 2.5 or
mm-hmm.
something, yeah.
Which is how we've done the other states in the mm-hmm. past, too.
So by the time...
A few choices.
I'm just thinking by the time you do the whole trail, let's see, you'll probably be in your 60s someplace.
I know. And met a man even older than that 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the very first year.
Really?
He had done sections when he was working.
Uh-huh.
And when he had retired, he retired later in life. Like, he had worked, you know, in whatever his field was for many years. And he wanted to go ahead and finish it up more as a through hike at that point.
Right.
So different members of his family that were interested came out and would spend days with him.
Mm-hmm.
So when we met him, he was finishing in Georgia. And his grandson, who was like around my age, was finishing with him.
Hmm.
And it was neat. It was neat to see.
You know, the other thing I'm thinking is, you said Granddaddy Longlegs have accompanied you
yes.
with all of these.
Yes.
You know, there's that book that's called, I think it's called Animal Speaks or something like that.
Right.
And it talks about your totem animals, the ones
mm-hmm.
that are with you. So if Granddaddy Longlegs tend to be with you, it'd be interesting to find out, unless you know, what they
are
symbolic
of. No, that's interesting because while I said I often look up mm-hmm. the ones that I see, they have been so constant, I've never looked them up. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
One of the things we saw this year that I've never seen before, but we were by rivers a lot, we saw beaver this year. Right off the trail, like right beside us. But with the daddy long legs, they've always been there.
Mm-hmm.
So I just feel like they're like my traveling companions, but that's a very interesting thing. So looking at their symbolism a little bit would be nice.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because they all have something to teach.
They do.
And so I'm not sure. We'll have to look that one up.
Yeah.
And see what it is. They had on, CBS has a program every Sunday morning that's just called Sunday Morning. And they ended this last Sunday's program with the beaver.
And, oh, really?
And they were in the Grand Tetons.
Wow.
And so they were showing how, I mean, the branches that these guys can trim down and drag
yes.
and, you know, put into the appropriate places because, of course, with the Tetons, it's moving into fall now.
Yes.
And they'll have their first snowfall probably by mid to the latter part of October. And so, yeah, it's just, it's interesting how we can learn something from every little animal.
I love that. And I always feel like that these trips just, they're an immersion in that for me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I love my neighborhood walks. I love my, you know, local park walks. I really love to be in nature.
Mm-hmm.
Something about going to that territory that's more unknown.
Now, I'm curious. I know that, you know, I talk about Boomer's products a
yes.
lot. And I think you were using the barley
mm-hmm.
in preparation.
Yes.
And I know that a lot of people, when they're using at least the boost in the barley, they actually see endurance, they see strength, they see, you know, more energy, you know, that kind of thing. Did you notice anything?
Well, I will say that I felt this year just generally not noticing the number of miles like
mm-hmm.
I usually do.
Mm-hmm.
And we covered territory every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was impressive to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we don't do this. I mean, we do our normal types of exercise as far as our group. We do prepare by taking walks with our backpacks.
With your backpacks,
but again, this
yeah.
is flat territory.
Right.
We can't get a lot in the way of mountains.
Right.
So I noticed a difference, and I've always done that. I mean,
yeah.
all of the regular stuff I do throughout the year, I always do.
Right.
I felt like my... it must have been, I would call that endurance.
Mm-hmm. That's what...
I would call that endurance,
right.
yeah.
The majority of people that either, one, have health issues where they just have absolutely no strength
right.
to get up and go do what they need to do, or they tend to be a little more athletic.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're a little more athletic, whether they're biking or swimming or walking or running, you know, they can feel that, wow, I can go more, I can do more
yes.
than what I've been able to do in the past. And so all of that takes place, of course, on a internal cellular level where
yes.
you're just like, that's the noticing part.
Yeah.
You know, because when you're doing it on a daily basis, you know, you probably...
You may not notice
right,
it as much.
Right, but then when you put yourself to the test of having to do something
mm-hmm.
and then not being sore... you know, later, then it's sort of like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I think that that's a huge thing. When you can get up the next day and then go do it again,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you
Absolutely.
Know, truly minus my ankles, and that was just the wear and
the
tear.
The rubbing.
Just the
yeah,
wear and tear
right.
of the boot hitting my sides of my ankles.
Yeah, I think probably this next year, it'll be interesting. If you can find moccasins
yeah.
that at least for... protecting your feet.
Right. The bottom, the sole of the
yeah,
feet still
yeah,
has to have a good
yeah. some sort
something.
Of a cushion
mm-hmm.
there because there are going to be branches that you might land on or
definitely.
A rock that's protruding or
mm-hmm.
something like that. But then I could see, you know, finding hiking shoes that will help you get around these rocks a little bit
yes,
better.
I think I have to go something slimmer.
Mm-hmm.
Many people I know hike more in a trail runner
mm-hmm.
that's more like a running shoe but with a thicker sole
right
usually something around the toe to protect yeah. you from you bang your toes in the rocks too unfortunately
yeah.
I get when you do get tired you kind of stub
yeah that's well you don't pick your feet up quite
you
the
don't
same
pick
way.
Your feet up the same way if you
so
get tired
they're
exactly.
dragging well it just sounds like you had an absolutely fabulous time. And I'm glad you were able to come and share that with us. And, you know, I know you do a lot with your yoga and with your art and things.
Mm-hmm.
But I would guess that by going out and spending even just 4 days in nature that way, that you bring that energy back with you into who you are and what you do elsewise, you know, during that.
I feel like I do. I think every year, too, I feel like I come back able to be slower
mm-hmm.
in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that's one of the learning processes for me in life has been to slow down and listen mm-hmm. and not just jump in and say yes to everything.
Right.
And this past year especially, I've been working on that more. One of the symbols I've been given a lot this past year is the snail.
Oh, okay. That's a pretty good symbol.
Right?
Well, tell everybody, because we are right at the end of our show, tell everybody how to get hold of you if they want to connect for yoga or counseling or art lessons or whatever it might
fantastic.
Be.
Fantastic. So. You can always contact me on my website, which is www.wingedtreasures.com. And I also have a Facebook page, Winged Treasures LLC, as well. So either of those are great ways to get in touch with me.
Okay. Thank you for coming and visiting. For everyone out there that's listening to the show today, please let everybody else know that they can listen to it on SynergyConnectionRadio.com. The live show, of course, is just the 1 hour, and it has moved to Fridays at noon. So that's what you're listening to today, is a Friday show at noon. But if you miss it, or if you think this is something that a friend or family member should listen to, then send them to the SynergyConnectionRadio.com website, and you'll be able to find Victoria there. Thank you again.
Thank you, Lucy.
Have a fabulous day, everybody. Go out there and make it your best.